lie down and then you...
With poop.
Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Thank you for tuning in to Radio Free Readout. This is episode 1522 on the 19th of July, 2015. Thank you all for being out there and for listening. If you're streaming live, listening Sunday evening or during the week, I want to thank you guys for being out there and for helping to spread the word. Also want to remind you that we are on the air every Saturday out of Spokane, Washington on KTW 630 AM. And thank you for helping to spread the word there as well. I want to welcome all of our new listeners, more listeners coming on all the time. And during the week, throughout the day, we are posting things that are developing on our Facebook page, facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host, and my name is your name too, if you're a God-fearing and liberty-loving patriot, right? I want to remind everyone that the web store is open over at the Amron or the Radio Free Readout, the American Readout Gear Store. We've got that link. You can just click on the banner there on the right-hand side. That'll take you right on through. We are at AmCon 5 now. We have stood down the AmCon level, and we are just situation normal. Back to just regular training nets, but we are continuing to monitor the situation just, you know, in the world with everything going on. Things, so much is happening. It's pretty wild. But we don't have any direct threats that indicate a disruption to conventional communications. And if that does happen, we will assess that and we will let you know. And in a real-world catastrophic event, we will be posting information and updates through the app and through the website. And if it gets really bad, we will go on the air live streaming to bring you live coverage as long as updates continue to come in live streaming. And we expect at that time all of our Black Echo stations to fire up. We haven't talked about that in a little while. That kind of falls into our partisan radio category of topics. But we have many members of AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network, who have low-power FM and low-power AM broadcasting stations where they can broadcast over the radio, your regular commercial radio, just like you have in your car. Most of them are over FM. But they just broadcast through their neighborhood and their small vicinity to, you know, keep it legal. And most of them have the ability, though, to crank up the power to levels that would be illegal to do in times like this. But in a major catastrophic emergency situation where lives are at stake and keeping people informed are more important than rules, they have the capability of being able to turn that up. And so that's called the Black Echo Rebroadcasting Program, the Black Echo Radio Free Readout Rebroadcasting Stations. So let's see here. Let's get to the news and commentary here in just a second. Tonight, I am going to be covering part 6 of the Coming Underground, some things that I wanted to kind of start wrapping things up. And then next week, I'm going to summarize everything, tie it in a nice bow. And then we're going to move on to some other topical segments or episodes in the future, just because there's just so much to cover and there's a lot of information out there that we want to get to you guys to help encourage you, inform you, prepare you for the challenging times ahead. So with that, let's get down to the news and commentary, which is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. Go to 299days.com to learn more. From themirror.uk, let's go international right now. ISIS is to set up strongholds in the heart of Europe as it terrorizes, or as terrorists secretly buy land near an isolated village in Bosnia. They are doing this for ISIS training camps, could be a base for devastating terror attacks on the West. Reuters is reporting, well, they have a picture here, we're going to post this, of an entrance to the Bosnian village of Gornja Majorka. The Islamic State have established a stronghold in the mainland Europe. Terrorists are secretly buying land in an isolated village surrounded by deep woodland. Security services think that the area in Bosnia is used for ISIS training camps and could be a base for devastating terror attacks on the West. Well, how many times are they going to say that? Crucially, the location gives IS, Islamic State, a key strategic position due to its proximity to the Mediterranean, which is used by extremists from Syria, Iraq, and North Africa. At least 12 ISIS fighters trained in the village and have left for Syria in recent months, and five are reported to be dead. Terror expert, I cannot pronounce that name, Galajazivek, said, from this village, a large number of people went to Syria and are going constantly. Not a good sign. Of course, that combined with reports that we've had of ISIS training camps south of the U.S.-Mexico border. And I was involved in a intelligence briefing this last week where that was covered in depth, the strategy of the jihadists to infiltrate the United States. They didn't touch on that. That wasn't what they focused on, the camps in Mexico, but that was definitely covered. And I'll tell you what, it's we're setting ourselves up, this nation, for some major troubling times ahead from adversaries that want to destroy us. And of course, ISIS also, they're training their kids in these training camps. They've got children training them with knives to cut the heads off of dolls. So they're training the next generation. Deeply rooted indoctrination that means that we're not going to see this problem go away anytime soon. This is something that we and our children and our children's children are going to have to be confronted with. So likewise, you should be training your children how to operate an M4 or an... well, not an M14, M1A, whatever it is. Teach them young how to defend themselves. From the LA Times, let's come back to the United States. They are seeking tighter controls over firearms purchases. We're talking about the Obama administration. They are pushing to ban Social Security beneficiaries from owning guns if they lack the mental capacity to manage their own affairs. Did you get that? Relentless. The relentless liberty-robbing administration is pushing, and they're intending to bring the Social Security Administration in line with laws regulating who gets reported to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, or NICS, which is used to prevent gun sales to felons, drug addicts, immigrants, and the in the country illegally, and others. And, of course, others is all returning veterans. Now it's going to be anybody on Social Security who, well, at first it's going to be who can't manage their own affairs, because so that's going to make you very dangerous to yourself or others. And the government is there to protect you, right? Here's something else that came out, popped out in the article. Somebody pointed out the agency has been drafting its policy outside of public view. Even the National Rifle Association wasn't aware of it. Well, when told about the initiative, the NRA issued a statement from its chief lobbyist, Chris W. Cox, saying, if the Obama administration attempts to deny millions of law-abiding citizens their constitutional rights by executive fiat, the NRA stands ready to pursue all available avenues to stop them in their tracks. So the NRA is now aware of it, and they are ready for another fight. Boy, this administration, there's something, huh? Oh, and then Hillary, the Hill. She is now prancing around calling for action on gun control after the Charleston shootings. Actually, I'm surprised it took this long before they started jumping on that bandwagon. I guess they had to get through with Confederate flags first, which actually have some information on that, too. We'll talk about. What else? Oh, hey, here's something that affects... Well, it doesn't affect the American Redoubt, but it should. Well, I have a question for the American Redoubt states. This article is from BuzzPro.com. They're saying that there are 16 states that are banning Sharia law. Is yours on the list? Now, due to the rise of radical Islam and the Obama administration's constant kowtowing to Muslims who refuse to assimilate to Western society, several states have moved to ban Sharia law. Now, the following list includes all states which have introduced legislation to make Sharia law illegal via the Conservative Tribune, apparently. So, listen up. Alabama has introduced two bills. That doesn't surprise me. Arkansas, Florida, and Indiana have introduced two bills. Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi has introduced four bills. Missouri, two bills. North Carolina, Oklahoma with seven bills. South Carolina, two bills. Texas has introduced six bills. Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wyoming has introduced two bills. Now, this is a shame. Washington, a leftist, only just one notch below California, has introduced legislation to stop Sharia law. So Washington and Wyoming are the only two American Redoubt states who have introduced legislation. Why? Why? How is that even possible? Well, I'll tell you how. Because I know that the Idaho legislators didn't do crap for defending liberty in this last session. Now, I know many of the legislators, and I consider them friends. But you know what? I'm not happy with my friends. They didn't do crap. Oh, maybe I shouldn't be using that word. They didn't do squat. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They did not go on the offensive. I'll tell you what, Patriots, when we go on the offensive, we win. We gain ground. You might not win every battle, but you will gain ground only if you go on the offensive. If you try to stand there neutral, you just try to stand on the line and say, don't cross this line, you will lose ground. You have to go on the offensive. You can't wait for the enemy to strike a punch so you can dodge it. You have to throw punches. You have to proactively introduce legislation that protects your laws in your state from being abrogated by any other law. It cannot be in conflict. No other law can be in conflict with state law, the Constitution of the United States or your state's constitution. Any foreign law that comes into conflict with U.S. law or your state's law. It's pretty simple. Just like there was not one piece of legislation introduced that protected people from being forced to compelled to perform a service that violates their moral conscience. Not one piece of legislation was entered. Not one. And they talked about it ahead of time. So there's two sessions that have come and gone where they've done nothing to protect God-fearing patriots from being forced to violate their moral conscience. So that's a problem. And we'll just add that to our list of grievances because we must go through the process of articulating our grievances. If you want to be righteous, when the fight comes, you have to know that you've exhausted every recourse. Now, you haven't exhausted every recourse if you never try the system that's in place. Like so many of these states are introducing laws to ban Sharia law. Now, is it true that a judge can come along and overrule that law. They could say, oh, that's unconstitutional. That's not fair, right? They can strike it. But does that mean you don't take to the fight at all? Because that's part of articulating your grievances. When you pass laws under the 10th Amendment, the sovereignty of the state to rule its own affairs wherever it does not specifically give powers to the federal government, that government is reserved to the states and the people. So you pass a law, a federal judge comes and overrules your law. They are in violation of the higher law. There's another notch right there that you're able to articulate additional grievances. Just like the founding fathers did, they had a whole list of grievances, 27 of them actually, that were outlined in the Declaration of Independence. When they said, we cannot be ruled under you anymore because of these grievances. These are intolerable acts. We cannot endure. We have to go through that process as well. So let them strike it down, but put the law in there anyway. That also lets us evaluate which leaders are on our side and who are not, who's with us and who's against us. Now, we need to know now. We can't guess. If everything comes crashing down in our country and we're trying to rebuild something and you're looking around for leadership, well, he was a state legislator, right? He's saying he wants to be part of the conversation. Well, hold on. What do we know about him? Did he or she, their policies, their voting record, did their pattern or performance bring us to this situation where we've collapsed? Or did this person over here fight for liberty all along? Do we have a proven track record? That's why we need to be fighting for this legislation now, because I know there's a lot of people, it doesn't matter, it's all going to collapse, our country's over, and it doesn't matter, we're just going through the motions, fighting for states' rights right now, or school vouchers right now, is such a moot point, because we have such major problems in comparison to those issues, why should we even focus on them? But the reason why we focus on them is because when it all does come down, we need to know who consistently, persistently fought for liberty, because those are the people that we want to back in a time of rebuilding, because we want to separate the statesmen from the politicians. And how do you know unless you put them to the test and make them perform? Then you evaluate them. That's pretty much it. Just want to remind you guys also, loadedpantshanger.com for hiding your weapons or your valuables in plain sight. Go to loadedpantshanger.com for more information. Great products. Okay, Fox 519 with the eye on the economy. When we come back, we will be continuing on with the discussion of preparing for the future underground. This is Radio Free Readout.
Debt is dumb, and gold is always better. Texas finally gets that. But up in Seattle, they are going to try to comply banks to comply with the Sharia law on their lending policies. Yes, this is truly coming. Hello, everyone. I am Fox 519, and I am bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $89 include shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Welcome back, and a continued thanks to Mark Goodwin of the Prepper Recon podcast and store. Visit Prepper Recon today for your emergency medical kits and supplies. Well, as I said in my opener, debt is dumb and it is a nation killer. We saw over the past few weeks how Greece did their best to escape from central banks, and it has failed miserably, only to the detriment of their own people's future. Well, now the state of Texas is going to do something about it. The state of Texas is setting up a gold-backed bank that will allow depositors to bypass the controversial Federal Reserve and its fiat currency banking system in commerce. And this is according to a state representative who has authorized and recently enacted law in the state of Texas. Under the measure, it was passed overwhelmingly by lawmakers and signed mid-June by Republican Governor Greg Abbott. A hearty congratulations to him, Mr. Abbott. The Lone Star State officials would establish and operate the Texas Bullion Depository for anyone who would like to deposit and trade in precious metals. The implications are as big as the state of Texas. Nay, nay, I say it is bigger than Texas. Congratulations once again. Great move. Among other immediate effects, the law creates the first state-backed level gold-backed bank in the nation. It is House Bill 483 and will involve the repatriation of about $1 billion of Texas gold from New York to their state. Conflicting news reports and official statements say the state's precious metal stockpile is either being held by HSBC in New York or by the powerful New York Federal Reserve Bank, a privately owned and cloaked in secrecy with immense power over the U.S. economy. First, though, officials will need to select a home for this Texas state depository. Now, this movement comes on the heels as Greece's tremendous slide towards absolute financial slavery. This new proposed gold depository would also be an on-demand depository, meaning that if you wanted to have 5,000 gold bars in the vault, they are yours and no one else's. They are not rehypothecated to use as payment for debt or used as collateral for state debt. They are yours. You can write checks against the value of the gold, and it will be deducted from your account. But it is a real, authentic, constitutional currency, not a fractional reserve currency with bank promissory notes. It is a real, true, honest currency. My thoughts on this? Good on you, Texas. Now do the smart thing. Succeed and create your own republic with the gold-backed currency. It'll do wonders for your economy. Now, in other U.S. financial news, the openly gay mayor of Seattle is working on passing a law that would require lending institutions like banks and credit unions to comply with the tenet of Sharia law that does now allow Muslims to pay interest. It's good in theory. It prevents debt, and as an alternative economy, I love it. But this would keep families from getting over their heads. It is a smart way to manage your finances. However, there's one very, very extremely dangerous problem here. It recognizes Sharia law. And it paves the way for the apostate religion, a vile, vile religion that absolutely, and I'm going to go on a tangent here, should be ground into the dirt of history and never resurrected again. Now, a news piece took place earlier this week, and CARE, the Council for Islamic Relations, the local chapter executive director, Arslan Bukhari, I don't apologize for mixing up that name, has said that he has rough anecdotal evidence that it is fairly common for Muslims not to seek home loans in spite of the fact that they would qualify simply because they're forbidden to pay interest, and that this move by the city of Seattle would help the city's roughly 30,000 Muslims to find a path to home ownership that honors their sacred beliefs. Mark my word, everyone, this is dangerous. This is a step we will never be able to back down from again in the financial community. We are allowing Sharia law to gain a foothold in our communities. This cannot happen. Those of you who listen on the other side of Washington State need to immediately call the City of Seattle's mayor's office and tell them he needs to stop this right away. The worst part about all this? The Seattle mayor is openly gay. Does he have any idea what he's opening himself up to? If he allows Sharia to take a foothold in his city, it could cost him his life. Islam is extremely violent towards homosexuality. They throw them off buildings, slit their throats, and behead them. And that is just on a rumor if they're gay. This move by the city of Seattle may generate a bit of capital for the city and increase the property taxes in the long run, but what good will it do if the other citizens in your city are all dead because they don't believe like the Muslims do? Anyway, keep a close eye on the city of Seattle for the weeks to come, everyone. There could be quite a bit of controversy around this one. Thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519, signing off. God bless.
This is segment 2 of episode 1421. Thanks and welcome back. And thanks, Fox 519, for your insight, as always. Much appreciated. We had fun yesterday over at KTW at the radio station talking about the several issues. We talked about the economy. We talked about Islam and really made the time go fast. But good stuff. Now, segment 2 is brought to you by Katie Armour. Katie Armour, I got to meet him yesterday. the owner of Katie Armour. Brian, he is going through Sam Culper's intelligence course this weekend in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So I knew that he was close by. I jumped in and made a little trip and went to meet him and several other patriots. It was really good to see them all again. And but it was the first time actually getting to meet some of them, and I'd never met our longtime sponsor, Brian. What a cool dude. I mean, this is – he's just my kind of people, just laid back. I mean, he's passionate about things, but he's just a solid guy. Man, I'll be so glad when they get relocated to the American Redoubt. They are redoubting, and I'm going to be really, really glad to have them close by. Plus, hey, they're going to be bringing jobs to the American Redoubt. That's pretty cool stuff. All right, now I got sidetracked. But oh, when you make your order with Katie Armour, the CATI, like as in come and take it, Katie Armour, use your coupon code John Jacob, and their production time is like less than a week. But since he's traveling and he's in the American Redoubt, I think he's gonna sneak around, take a little bit of extra time on his trip. They might be a little bit behind on their orders because he's looking for property in the American Redoubt. So cut him some slack. I had a couple of listeners ask me, can you please point us to some resources that helps us tie that, you know, our Christian heritage in with, you know, our founding documents and founding fathers? You know, what makes the Constitution, you know, how do you tie that to say, you know, that this is had godly principles? It was built on godly principles, even our Constitution. People say, well, what's a resource so I can actually look at that? I can actually know for myself. I can research it because I want to know because I know, right? Because I've studied it and I've read it, and not just because somebody else said so. Well, it's a really good, valid point. So I've been coming across some resources. Last week, I mentioned several resources that I recommend that you add to your library that will help you on that journey to knowing your heritage from, you know, our Christian, Judeo-Christian heritage in America. There's another one that I came across that I wanted to pass on to you. It's called The Biblical Foundation of Our Constitution. I actually have two of these articles, the PDFs, but this one I'm going to make sure that we post and repost. It's by someone who goes by Publius Hulda, and this is titled The Biblical Foundation for Our Constitution. Now, the English Puritans who came here in the 1630s, they knew that the Old Testament had a great deal to say about civil government, and they came to build that shining city on a hill, which was what America became, the shining city on a hill, right? They did not come here to escape from the world, to wait out the end of the world, and to surrender it to evil. Now, in this paper, he shows you six principles which come from the Bible and how our framers applied them. When they were forming the Constitution, when they were constructing our founding documents. So those six items are: one, the civil authorities are under the law. This is what we've said. Number two, civil government has only limited and defined powers. Number three, civil government is divided into three parts. Four, the civil authorities promise to obey the higher law. Super important. Five, when the civil authorities violate the higher law, we must rebuke them. And six, the people's obligation to obey the civil authorities is conditional upon the civil authorities obeying the higher law. He uses scriptural references to point to each of these main six themes. And he lays out an action plan. What can we do? So to help you understand where we stand, as Christian patriots, especially when we're hearing from the church and from the pulpit and left-leaning Christians, that we're supposed to just submit to the government and do whatever they say. That is not in its proper context when they say that and when they use Romans chapter 13. That is completely out of context. Well, how do you refute that? Well, these tools here will help you. We're going to make sure that gets posted. Poly01, code name, Poly01. Could you get that PDF, that The Biblical Foundation of Our Constitution by Publius Hulda? and get that posted as its own posting, and make sure you link over to that original site. Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Now, let's get into this topic here. We've been, 6 weeks now? This is part six of The Coming Underground. So there's some things that I've, in all of the research, like I said, we could literally make this a college semester course. I mean, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 hours a day, you know, 15 credits. What I'm going to do is wrap this up next week, but we are going to keep coming back to these themes and several components of it. Maybe I'll write a book on this. Make some type of a presentation. Maybe we'll produce a video or something. I might be able to talk to a couple of our Amron operators that work professionally in movie industry. I mean, video production. We'll work on something. We want to have a tool to be able to get you guys' hands, and especially one to hand to your pastors who are just on the fence, or your leadership, maybe your legislators, your sheriff, but really also for your Christian leaders who they understand the trouble that we're in. They understand what we're up against. They know something needs to be done, but they just don't know what to do. So we might have to work on some that project, because I'm bored sitting around looking for something to do. Not really. If you're new, you know that was a joke. Okay. There's an article from Inform Ops. I love that. I love that website, Inform Ops, Information Operations. They do a lot of military intelligence analysis, resistance-y type of flavor to it. It's good, really good. There's an article that he did. Well, part one is what I have here. No one is going to jail for you. And remember, we're talking about preparing for the future underground. So he summarized a few points at the end of the article. First of all, always use PGP encryption in all your communications, which unfortunately in this case would not have mattered because Ross ended up giving up his private keys to the feds. He used a previous example in his article. But it is still another hurdle in their way to protect you from them taking away your freedom. Now, if you haven't been following along our series, PGP encryption is a way to encrypt your emails, and it encrypts it on your computer before it even departs, before it even goes anywhere. So if it's intercepted, man in the middle, it can't be decrypted. In order for it to be encrypted would require immense amounts of time, energy, and computer power to focus specifically on that email that you sent so they could find out what it said. And they only comes down to about a couple of agencies. And even whether or not they have the ability to break into that is questionable. The weak link, as we talked about encryption before, is always the end user. Sloppy passwords, lazy. They don't protect their passwords. That's the weak link right there. Okay, number two, never give out any personal information to anybody online about yourself. Now, we live in the Facebook age. We live in social media age, and people are very loose about putting information out there. Here's the problem. Once you put it out there, you can't take it back. Now, you can pull your Facebook site down there, but once it's there, it's retrievable. So you might not think if that's a big look. I don't have anything to hide. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to put my home address on there, but I'm going to talk about everything else going on in my life. Okay, now, there's some military and law enforcement personnel that are finally getting it, because ISIS is using this to start drawing connections between people. Now, you, Mr. Police Officer, might sanitize all your stuff, but you can't talk your sister into doing it, right? Because she still puts out there everything. When they're going on vacation, there's a picture of the front of their house with the address. They just don't care, right? They're living fearlessly. Well, ISIS wants to hurt police officers, so they can't find the police officer. But guess what? through your website, they've got, or through your Facebook page, they've got your sister's information. So after they behead her and post a little picture saying, here you go, Mr. Officer so-and-so, we got your sister and the rest of your family's next, right? They still can get to you because other people are sloppy. It's going to hurt you at some point, some of you, having your personal information out there, especially if you're in the military and law enforcement, is going to hurt you in the future. It's hurt many other people out there. And so never give out any personal information to anybody online about yourself. 3, never put your trust into somebody else's hands because at the end of the day, nobody is going to jail for you. Ross found an opportunity to possibly reduce his sentence, and he is fully taking advantage of the opportunity. In other words, if somebody thinks it's going to help them save their skin, they will sell you out. Now, we're much less likely to see this in the Christian patriot community because you're bound together by your faith. And as Christians, we know that we could suffer and may suffer, and we were told to expect to suffer. And there are a lot of Christians who went down all the way without selling out their fellow Christians. So you'll probably see less of it to a degree, but there are still plenty of Christians who will sell you out if they think that they will get you ahead, or they think that you're just crazy. You're a radical Christian giving them a bad name because you're a constitutionalist, right? Like the sheriff in Spokane County. He is convinced that constitutionalists are one of the biggest threats over ISIS that this country faces. And he claims to be a very outspoken, devout Christian. So something to keep in mind there. 4, keep your other life activities squeaky clean and compartmentalized. Keep your family's activities squeaky clean. Don't give anyone an opportunity to capitalize on errors that you're making in other areas of your life if you happen to draw attention to your liberty activities. So in this case, it might be, this is talking about, you know, being active, promoting liberty in this article that I'm reading to you from InformOps. But if you are... basically, don't be exploitable where they can harm you, damage your character, and affect your organization. This is the exact same scenario that happened with Sabu from Lulsec. He was threatened with 112 years in prison. He quickly turned on all of his friends and worked with the feds to get them all locked up to help reduce his sentence. Sabu has 2 kids and obviously decided he would rather snitch out his friends and have a chance at being a father rather than spend the rest of his life locked up in jail. Again, nobody's going to go to jail for you, this article says. So, if there's somebody out there who has some inclination to start experimenting with fully automatic weapons, for example, don't do it because... first of all, it's highly illegal. Secondly, fully automatic weapons are extremely inefficient. There is a time and a place and a proper application for fully automatic weapons fire. But for most of you, it's just going to waste ammo and it's not accurate. And right now it's illegal and it could get you thrown in jail. Or it could get somebody else saved from going to jail because you showed it off at the shooting range and now he just dimed you out because he wants to be with his family and not go to prison because he did something dumb and got caught. But because you wanted to show it off, well, there you are, right? So when they say keep yourself squeaky clean, that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. Don't go and make your radio illegally modified and then go and boast to all your friends about it, because when it comes time for them to be have the squeeze put on them, you just might come to mind for them when they say, if you got any valuable information you might want to pass along to us, maybe we'll take that into consideration during your sentencing. And that sounds pretty darn tempting in many cases. So keep yourself squeaky clean. What else we got here before we take a break? Oh, what does he say? Parting comment. Please take a note here. No agency is cracking tech as far as anyone knows. We're talking about encryption. Encryption works. Tor provides anonymity. The subjects are making OPSEC errors, which lead to exploits on them or their tech, their technology. But it all starts with the lack of OPSEC discipline. That's operation security. From there, it is good old-fashioned police work as they lean on the suspects to make them squeal. Cracking your wetware is definitely easier than cracking your software. Okay, so that was from their article. Basically, use encryption, use tech, use technology, use it. Because it is stifling the opposition. In fact, the government right now is pressing. They're pressing for legislation to ban encryption that the government does not have access to. What does that tell you? It works. All right? Otherwise, they would just let you keep using it thinking that it works while they have access to it. And they do have access to some of it, but they want access to all of it. So we gave you some examples last week of some of the encryption that they don't have access to. They're trying to change it. That's why we say, get it now. Okay, we'll be back in a minute with segment three.
I love my country. I love my guns. I love my family. I love the way it is now. And anybody that tries to change it has to come through me. That should be all of our attitudes. Is this is America, and a country boy's good enough for me, son.
One podcast dares to be different.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Recently at a local banquet, I had the pleasure of briefly meeting a woman who had immigrated from Estonia. She walked with a cane, but the fire in her eyes was inspiring. As I held the door for her to walk outside into the rain, a woman accompanying her said, "You don't have to go out there. Wait till I pull the car around." The elderly woman turned and looked at her and, in a loud chuckle, said, "It's rain, and it rains," and promptly walked out into the cold, wet night. Well, it does rain, and it is exactly that kind of spirit to continue walking forward despite hard times and despite the offer of an easier road that defines what it means to be an American. It's about principle. It is raining right now in America. Hard times are upon us, but unlike crisis in the past, there seems to be a lack of leadership and direction to show us the way out. Americans are disappointed with both political parties, Obama and his merry band of Democrats for trying to impose socialism and steal from rich, poor, and everyone in between to redistribute that wealth to a select few, and Republicans, at least nationally, for not really standing for anything, saying one thing on the campaign trail and doing something completely different in Washington, D.C. One party is standing for the wrong principles, and one party, with some notable exceptions, is without principle. So what are we to do? Well, I think we need to walk through the rain. We need to get involved despite the hard times. Most of us agree that high taxes cost jobs, that freedom creates prosperity, and that government should be limited to its few specific and enumerated functions. Most of us also agree that social policies regarding abortion and marriage have both moral and economic consequences. So get involved in local politics and run for office. It will only be we the people that get rightly principled candidates into office, and who knows, one of those candidates might be you. At least that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Hey everyone, this is Glenn Tate. You're listening to Radio Free Readout and John Jacob Schmidt. His name is my name too.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality.
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Readout. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. And we are going to just pick up right where we left off. Segment three is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. If you're trying to get relocated to the northern panhandle of the American Redoubt in Idaho, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate will get you taken care of. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Okay, now, I started to talk about OPSEC. We've talked about it before. I'm just going to hit it again. Okay. I want you guys to start thinking about security, security, security. The future of the underground depends on the habits that you start forming now. Later in his article, John Mosby, I've mentioned at the beginning of this series, he's from the Forward Observer magazine, which also he works with Sam Culper. Mosby's he's a good guy, super sharp, and he knows his stuff. He's former Special Forces. Okay. Mosby talks about identifying those who you can trust now. Now, before I go any further, if I've covered this already because I had some notes, I want to read down through here. I hope I didn't read this to you in one of the previous series, but I don't think I did in one of the previous episodes. But even if I have, it's important enough to reiterate it or to repeat it. He says, if you have friends whom you trust enough to discuss these matters and potential future issues with, who are not outspoken and openly critical of the current demise, educate them on the need for future subversives. In other words, things that you may have to do in the future and you haven't done anything with all crazy to bring unnecessary attention to yourself up to this point. Okay. They need to remain quiet and simply prepare for the day that they need to carry out subversive tactical operations. And now, in this case, discussions should be around operating underground churches or networks, which we're planning on that being illegal at some point in the future, right? That's where we're talking about subversive activity. We are trying to proselytize and spread the gospel when we're told that we can't. We're trying to support businesses underground who are told that they cannot conduct business anymore because they discriminated, right? We want to continue to support a baker or a flower arranger or a wedding photographer, but through an underground market. We're going to support them, and because the government's trying to shut them down because they refuse to do those services for, let's say, a homosexual couple. All right, so this is where Christians are being forced to operate underground. This will be considered subversive activity, which we are not going to refuse to do, and we'll continue to advocate it. So we're not necessarily talking about wiring a couple of cans of ether to the engine block of a bootlicking, willing servant of the oppressive regime, right? Okay, and that's the part I couldn't remember if I said a few weeks ago. Now, remember, we're creating habits and developing skill sets. You don't need to meet face-to-face and pass an encrypted message to someone in your underground church network right now. Okay, you don't have to go that far. But it is fun, and it will be a critical skill in the future, so as many people with tradecraft skills as you can develop now, this will help you in the future. And that's that many more people who can immediately begin using it when it does become necessary. And that's all the more people who can train others in the same methods. So this will help make a quick spin-up cycle. If the most people possible know how to use encryption, know how to use one-time pads, they start thinking about these underground operations or subversives, if you're going to put it in a word, the more you can do them now, the more they can immediately go operational when it becomes necessary. And that's that many more people who can spin others up. Okay, change your home church meetings every couple of meetings or so. Pass the word using the secure methods that we've talked about, and we'll be talking about more in the future. So start practicing now. With your home group, your home church, hey, let's start mixing it up. What if this happens? And pose this question to your home group Bible study leader. What if it does become necessary where this is illegal? Let's practice this now. Let's start using some of these communications. It'd be fun, and it could be useful. Use one-time pads to let everyone know where and when the next meeting will be. Or pass thumb drives to each other loaded with a word pad or a notepad document that's encrypted with TrueCrypt. How's that? Remember we talked about TrueCrypt? TrueCrypt is an extremely powerful free software program for setting up encrypted folders, volumes, and whole thumb drives. It's a great way to secure information. You can also create partitions with hidden volumes on a disk. Did you know that? So, whichever part of the partition that opens depends completely on which password you enter. For example, a couple special agents from the Department of Christian Compliance comes in. They seize your thumb drive and they tell you to open the thumb drive or else, because they think that you've got a list of everybody in your underground church network on that thumb drive. So you will open it and you say, no, I want to see a warrant. Or you say, I've done nothing wrong and I want to see a lawyer. They respond that under the new federal anti-hate crimes laws and for operating an illegal church, you fall into the domestic terror threat category, and therefore the constitutional requirements of warrants and legal counsel don't apply in your case. Now, you state that you are a citizen guaranteed those things under the Constitution, and they roll their eyes and look at each other and say, oh, we have a constitutionalist here. Now, then the lead agent turns to you with a smug look and he tells you, you're going to jail for 20 years and you'll never see your kids again unless you open up the thumb drive. So you protest verbally and as you plop the thumb drive into your laptop and type in a specific password, which opens up the side of the partition with information you want them to see. And don't put cookie recipes or shopping lists there. I mean, that would be obvious. This is where you would put information that appears useful, but is actually benign, outdated, or otherwise useless, or even misleading for their intelligence efforts. You could have a list that says alternative meeting places, but they're places that you've never gone, you never plan to go to, and it could totally mislead them. Use some liberal-owned businesses' basements or something. Anyway, most importantly, you don't want to put anything on there that could incriminate you. Maybe medical and personal financial information, such as your bank account information. Now, it's plausible that you would want to keep that secure and encrypted. It's reasonable. And even your own government tells you to protect information like that. So that's what you could be when you're forced to open up something under duress and you open that up, you actually see something that looks sensitive, but it really is not, like a list of members of your underground church, right? Your organization. You could even inform them that because of HIPAA laws, they're in violation of federal law by forcing you to reveal your private medical information to them, and you're going to be pressing charges. It's another strategy that you could use. And it could be true. But the real information, such as locations of meeting places, names, contact information of members of your underground church, your secret business directory of Christian-owned businesses that your network supports. Now, we're not living in Turkey or Iran or China. We still live in America, as it were, and we still have the freedom to move about, to meet at church and even home churches, Bible studies, home groups, without being spied on. Well, at least without being subjects of a sting operation for now. But we're seeing glimpses of the future even today. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. In July of 2012, this was on Fox News, a Bible study leader, Michael Salman, was arrested in July of 2012 after his home was raided by more than a dozen Phoenix, Arizona police officers and city officials. His offense? The city says people aren't allowed to hold private Bible studies on their own property. Salman was sentenced to 60 days in jail, 3 years probation, and received over $12,000 fine for the crime. His wife, Suzanne, said the city told her that her husband was essentially arrested because the Bible study was at a private house and that essentially it's a church. Since they weren't zoned for church, they were told that they were breaking the rules. One day, it will be illegal for holding a non-sanctioned church service, state approved, a church which isn't listed. and they'll require a directory of churches so that they can have oversight, so their sermons can be audited or inspected for content that might violate human rights or other so-called laws that the left will be dreaming up. And if you're not registered, they can't audit you, which will be a crime of omission. So they won't charge you with violating hate laws. They'll charge you with holding an illegal church. And they'll claim that you absolutely have the right to freedom of religion, which is why they bent over backwards to help you by making provisions for registering your church. So you'd be able to have your weak-minded crutch, your religion. The key is the Constitution guarantees the right to freedom of religion, the right to assemble and to talk to each other wherever you want to be, in public or in your home. He says that the thing that I think is so shocking is that you might expect this in Iran or someplace around the world, but happening in the United States, this is so shocking, it's beyond belief. You're going to hear that over and over, patriots. Snap out of your slumber. Don't be shocked, but you're going to see it. I just can't believe it. This is America. I'm shocked beyond belief that this is happening. Well, that's what people say all around the world and what they've said for years. Every time it happens, they can never believe it. See, now, if you're a Christian patriot trying to warn others of what's coming, you're a lunatic. But when it comes, they're shocked beyond belief. Right? And then, after it's over, they say, never again. We are going to warn others so future generations will see the signs. They'll be able to rise up against it before it can take a foothold in their culture, in their country. And then we vow never again. But that's just lying to yourself because we're going to be seeing it again. And here we are in America, shocked beyond belief. And don't believe for a minute this is about the city's heartfelt concern for the safety of the people, because that's what they were told. This is just unsafe with this many people. This is not about the safety of the people. This is about control. And soon it'll be about compliance with future hate crimes and so-called human rights violations. And they will use militant homosexual agendas to achieve these goals. Another case before we take a break. City uses KGB-style tactics to investigate an illegal church in Florida. A government crackdown on churches has Christians in Lake Worth, Florida, wondering if they live in the United States or in the former Soviet Union. Churches in Lake Worth, population 36,000, have been ordered to acquire a business license as if the church has to get the government's permission to preach and pray. They wanted to do this in a coffee shop to meet. City officials were so concerned about one congregation, they dispatched a code enforcement officer cloaked in a hoodie to spy on the Southern Baptist Church that was meeting in the coffee house. Government employees are public servants and prohibited by the Constitution from inhibiting religious freedom, said Matt Staver from the Religious Liberty Law Firm, City Council. Liberty Council. Let me back up and do that again. Government employees are public servants and prohibited by the Constitution from inhibiting religious freedom, said Matt Staver, founder of the religious liberty law firm Liberty Council. He says that is a far cry from sneaking around into a church acting like KGB agents. Pastor Mike Olive said there had not been any problems until early in the previous month when he had an encounter with Andy Amoroso, a city commissioner, who was apparently telling people the church was anti-gay. Well, there's the real crime right there. So the pastor went to speak with the commissioner, and the commissioner reportedly pointed at the pastor and said, "Listen, you better not have a church down there." So, they have a code enforcement officer sneak in, and this is what he writes in his report, among other things. "I walked back to the coffee bar and was able to visualize, in my opinion, what appeared to be a ministry in progress," he wrote in the report. He documented how he observed, quote, people holding what appeared to be Bibles or religious books, as one had a cross on it, and what appeared to be a ministry in progress. He said, "I was approached by an unknown man with a cross around his neck." The officer wrote that he was, quote, "able to capture on my city phone a video which will be attached as evidence to this case file for future court presentation." This is happening in America. A church is infiltrating and he's writing a report as if he's watching some type of drug deal going down. This is right out of KGB. This is right out of Stasi, NKVD, SS. Amazing stuff. So they have since gone underground. Check this out. As for Pastor Olive, his church will no longer meet in its church-owned coffee house. Instead, it is taking its congregation underground until the issue is resolved. Did you catch this? This was from an article. This isn't Radio Free Readout talking here. This word underground is starting to be used more and more in America. Instead, his church is taking its congregation underground until the issue is resolved. Well, we'll talk about how to go underground when we come back in a minute. This is Radio Free Readout.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
The voice of the American Redoubt. Radio Free Redoubt.
This is Shan Hemphill with Works LLC. We provide lifetime guaranteed holsters and magazine carriers for the armed citizen. Check us out at werkz.com or call 855-WORKS01 for your custom gear needs. Don't forget to use coupon RFR at checkout for 15% off. Thank you and God bless.
And here we are with the last segment, segment four at Radio Free Readout for episode 1522, not 21. I said 21 in the last episode, didn't I? Okay, we are at the 22nd broadcast of Radio Free Readout here on Sunday nights for the year 2015, number 22. Should actually be more than that, shouldn't there? Oh, we had a couple weekends that we couldn't transmit because I was on the road or traveling or just come back from some event. Oh, speaking of traveling to events, God and Country, I promised you guys we'd get the other audio files up. We're going to do that. I'm going to do that in the next 48 hours, but I was out of town all week. I was on the road for three quarters of it. And so I'm going to make that available to you. Pastor John Weaver and Pastor Hadian, Representative Matt Shea, the other speeches that they did. And I'm going to make that available to you, including the communications presentation that I did. I actually got those audio files now. Okay, how do you go? Oh, and this segment is sponsored by 419systems.com, the Prepper's Assistant. Go check them out at 419systems.com to help you organize your preps. So how do you go underground? You spread the word person to person, first of all, face to face, or in today's world, using encryption, encrypted email, encrypted text, encrypted phone. Now, when you're talking about a municipal government, you probably don't have to worry too much about the city government eavesdropping on your phone calls and your emails. They don't wear big enough pants to get the really cool toys. But when these types of actions are driven at the federal government level, you can fully expect they'll be using those tools for hacking your phone calls and emails. So start practicing now. It develops good habits and it's fun. Doggone it. So you spread the word person to person across the congregation. You can just do this in an open phone call today, like in the situation with Florida. All right, as long as you're contacting people that are people you trust, they're in your church, and you know that they're on your side. We still live in a time when it would be suitable to do that. You can even do this via a simple email. Explain to the congregation what you're up against and that you're not going to let anyone deter you from worshiping, and you remind them of the multiple examples in the Bible where followers chose to defy edicts from tyrants who ordered them not to follow their faith. And you'll get lots of support and participation from within your church. They'll want to be in on this. The going underground's exciting. It's like adventure, right? So you're going to have plenty of participation within your church, but you might lose a few, and that's okay. Now, remember, we're only in the early stages at this point. The stakes are low, and there are some powerful religious liberty firms that will come to your rescue, pro bono, without charging you. But the stakes are going to get higher, and, well, they already are for some. And we'll talk about some of those examples. Vetting. Vetting is super important. And we'll be talking to someone in a couple of weeks who worked with the underground church in Turkey, maybe next week, to talk about vetting, where the stakes were much higher. But you need to think about imposters, infiltrators, or regime collaborators from the inside, including other so-called Christians. Like those people that decide to leave the church because they think that you're just acting like, you're supposed to follow the rules. I mean, you're supposed to obey government. And the government says not to have church anymore without a permit, but you're going to do it anyway and just go underground. There are people who are going to think that you are out of line by doing that. And at some point in the future, those people will turn you in. Maybe not in this Florida case at this point, at this level, but in the future. So maybe propose the idea to folks about going underground and choosing a location. Engage their response. If they're all for it, like, cool, that sounds cool. Yeah, just tell me where to be and when to be there and I'll be there. Well, then you go, okay, I'll just tell you right now. Meet us at such and such time. But when you get the person that starts a very cool response and they're like, you know, you're acting like a criminal sneaking around, and it's not unreasonable that we register our church with the state and we're supposed to follow the rules, the laws of the land. And I disagree with the way you're handling this. And it's not right. Then you say to that person, well, let me continue thinking about it and praying about it some more, and I'll get back with you. You gave me some things to think about. And then you don't tell that person where the new church is going to be because they're going to fight you on it. Okay, you can deal with them later, but you don't tell them where your church is going to be held. So we already know we're seeing an increasingly apostate church in America. Almost daily we're hearing of pastors who are changing their minds and embracing homosexual couples under the banner of loving everyone. And in the church, there's a growing sentiment and even an increasing hostile attitude towards churches that won't accept homosexuality. Now, these New Age, westernized, so-called Christians actually believe something should be done about the intolerant Christians who take the Bible literally and embrace hate like you and me do. At least that's how they see it. You don't think other Christians will turn you in? Well, you're sadly mistaken. There are those who will, and they fall into one of two primary categories. Those who simply want to save their own skins, and those who resent your radical extremist views on Christianity, like taking the Bible view on sin literally. The latter actually thinks you're a danger, and probably partly to blame for the increasing hostility toward Christians in general. In other words, you're causing this. And this is like the Sheriff Ozzy over in Spokane. He really believes that you Christian constitutionalists are a threat. And in fact, by not complying with a godless government, you're actually the one causing the pressure from the federal government on Christians because you are very rebellious, which is not true. You're not rebellious. You are obedient to the law, to the higher law, right? So your fundamentalism, as they call it, is the cause of all this turmoil because, after all, you're supposed to be all about peace at all costs. Now, keep in mind, it's not you who's the cause of all the dissension because our country decided to take a sharp left turn and you chose to stay the course. They've flipped things, and now you're the extremist wacko, according to their narrative, which changes depending on which way the wind's blowing. And this is, I've said this before. Now, during the Holocaust, many Jews turned on their fellow Jews just because they thought they would be exempt. Now, mostly, it only bought them a little time. Once all the Jews were loaded onto the boxcars, they turned around to see the Nazi bayonets pointed at them and hearing, "Now it's your turn." But some survived to go on and become a menace to other people for the rest of their miserable lives. Let me tell you a little story. George Schwartz was born in Hungary in 1930. Not the luckiest time and place to be born a Jew. George's father, Theodore, tried to change the family's fortunes by changing their name to something less Jewish sounding. Well, it didn't help. And soon war came. When the Nazis took control of Hungary in 1944, the Holocaust followed. In 2 months, 440,000 Hungarian Jews were deported to the death camps. Now, to survive, George, then a teenager, collaborated with the Nazis. First, he worked for the Judenrat. That was the Jewish council set up by the Nazis to do their dirty work for them. So instead of the Nazis rounding up Jews every day for the trains, they delegated that murderous task to Jews who were willing to do it to survive another day at the expense of their neighbors. Now, Theodore, George's father, hatched a better plan for his son. He bribed a non-Jewish official at the agriculture ministry to let George live with him. George helped the official confiscate property from Jews. Now, by collaborating with the Nazis, George survived the Holocaust. He turned on other Jews to spare himself. George moved to London after the war and then went to New York, where he became a stockbroker. He's rich now. Forbes magazine says he's the 35th richest man in the world. And maybe you've heard of him. He goes by the name his father invented, George Soros. How does Soros feel about what he did as a teenager? Has it kept him up at night? Well, Steve Croft of 60 Minutes asked him that. He said, "Was it difficult?" "Not at all," Soros answered. "No feeling of guilt?" the interviewer asked. "No," said Soros. "There was no sense that I shouldn't be there. If I wasn't doing it, somebody else would be taking the Jews' personal belongings away, whether I was there or not, so I had no sense of guilt." I mean, a Nazi would steal the Jews' property anyways, so why not him, right? There were also members of the Judischer Ordnungsdienst. Now, my German is rusty, but I'll struggle through this one. Basically, the Judischer Ordnungsdienst, there we go, Ordnungsdienst, which means stewarding service, at first did not have official uniforms, often wearing just identifying armband and a hat and a badge, and were not allowed to carry firearms, although they did carry batons. They were used by the Germans primarily for securing the deportation of other Jews to the concentration camps, but their work encompassed all forms of public order in the ghetto. This is separate from George Soros. This was the stewarding service. They were recruited from two separate groups who could be relied upon to follow German orders. The first were Jewish lawyers, disbarred, by the way, by the Nazi occupiers, largely recruited by Deputy Commander Jakub Lechkin, himself later killed by the Jewish resistance. And the second, larger and more criminally active group were recruited from among pre-war Jewish organized crime groups. So they used lawyers and they used Jewish criminal organized crime groups as those stewarding services to help round up other Jews. There's plenty of historical precedents. There's just a couple of examples here. Next week, we're going to cover this. We're going to wrap all of this up. I want to summarize some things. And somebody made a Facebook comment saying, I can't believe this. They're not even persecuting you yet, and you're already talking about hiding. Stand up, he says. Well, I'm going to point to you some scriptural examples of where people actually did go into hiding and they went underground. And that's how I started this series. And that's how I'm going to end it next week. And I'm going to give you some examples of things that you can do to prepare, actual concrete action steps and a plan to make it fun, useful, make it interesting, to get the most participation from people in your small group, your church, even if it's just segments of them. It doesn't have to be all of them, but it only has to be enough so you can build a cadre. Then they can train others. When finally those people that are saying, I'm just shocked beyond belief that this is actually happening, you can say, all right, we've been waiting for this moment. There's been several of us who've given thought to this. We saw this coming and we've been planning for this. And they say, well, tell us what to do. And you say, come with us. Only a few brave souls are going to have the foresight to start thinking about this and preparing for this now. You're not doing this for yourself, and you're not going to convince the masses at this point. They aren't ready for it yet. You prepare yourself and a few select people, and you be ready to take the other shocked and disbelieving people when the time comes, when their eyes are finally open, when it would otherwise be too late, except you have already thought ahead far enough to start thinking about these things and have a plan in place. Whoa. All right. Well, with that, we're going to wrap up. I did go long. There's several things I want to cover, and I didn't want to make this a 10-week series. So just squeeze a little bit longer each of these episodes so we can try to keep it right about 6 or 7 episodes. And I think we're actually going to be able to do that. We're going to get the future coming underground all wrapped up next week. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. You have a blessed week, and join us right after this for a abbreviated version of Partisan Radio coming up. And that will be volume 15 in preparation for the Teotihuacan readiness exercise coming up in August 6th or 7th, 8th and 9th. Anyway, with that, you all have a blessed week, as I said. And keep your letters of encouragement coming in. Appreciate you guys being out there. Thank you for your prayers and your support. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.